What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another episode of the Smart Out Moment Smack Talk Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango. Joining me, as always, are Callum Wiggins.
Hello.
And Robert DeFelice.
Hello, hello.
What we're doing here is a special Patreon-sponsored episode. Maybe I should just have that accent throughout the whole thing. A special episode of the... It's January 3rd. We're recording this ahead of time. I've slept weird, so yeah, it happens.
We actually slept by the looks of it.
Yeah, in some ways. Maybe that's why my body's just kind of like, what? How do I process this? Now, this is a Patreon-sponsored episode from Marco. So thank you, Marco. And everybody else should thank Marco for sponsoring this episode. This is an episode of the Mount Rushmore, which we talked about before, where one of my favorite things to do, and it seems like everybody else kind of agrees with that because it won the Best Segment of the Year award for the End of the Year Awards. So we wanted to do more of these, and Margo came around with the idea of doing one of them at the start of this whole year. So what we're going to be doing here is the Mount Rushmore of Royal Rumbles, and that's a little bit different than what we've been doing. We've been doing more individual people, and this is kind of focusing not on people, it's, you know, focusing on matches and everything else like that. We need to set some ground rules. We need to set some information ahead of time about what this means, how we do this, in case you're brand new to the podcast or whatever. First things first, if you don't know what we mean by this being a Patreon-sponsored episode, the Patreon has a series of different tiers, one of them being Pick Your Poison. And for that one, it gives you the option of being able to directly fund an episode of a particular type that you like, or, you know, you want us to really do a certain segment or something like that. That is your means to be like, hey, look, I'm bankrolling this, and, you know, make sure that I've got the time to separate from other things, so I'm not working on like freelance projects instead to try to make up that, you know, that time and the money that I dedicated towards something like this, because, you know, the editing, the recording, all that other things that go along with that, I don't get the time to do that as many episodes as I would like. So this takes away from some other things. And if you are able to, you know, you really, really want to take part in that and you've got the funds to be able to do that, you can do that at any point in time. There's no real limit outside of the idea that I want to make sure that we get the episodes in. So I think I've currently capped it off at like 5 per month. But I'm sure if a 6th person were to be like, you know, hey, I'm really interested, whatever, we'd try to figure out something. So keep that in mind if you are interested in that, and if you do want to help us grow in a different type of way, or you just want to donate a little bit less to the Patreon or something, $1 and up is also greatly appreciated. $10 and up gives you access to the Dark Casts, which are Patreon exclusives. This is not exclusive to Patreon because it is a Pick Your Poison. Those aren't exclusive episodes. So the Mount Rushmore, just to get that out of the way so you know how that works, what we do here is we try to figure out the 4 pillars of whatever the topic is that we're talking about. So in the past, we've done the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling, the Mount Rushmore of women's wrestling, the Mount Rushmore of intercontinental champions, so on and so forth. And we basically, we talk about all the different options that are available for us to pick from. And then we try to narrow it down. You know, what does it mean to be one of the Mount Rushmore things? What are the qualifying factors and which things represent the best of that kind of theme? So with this being Mount Rushmore of Royal Rumbles, we can't say it's ring work, it's whatever. I think we got to narrow it down to some other types of things. I think the first thing I want to bring up is I think we should focus on the matches, not the events. Because the events are way too many details, way too many like, well, this is a really good Royal Rumble match, but the rest of the card is terrible. Oh, this had a really, really good WWE Championship match on the card, but whatever. So I'm saying it's Royal Rumble matches, for anybody who's wondering, not Royal Rumble pay-per-views, which also means the greatest Royal Rumble is in the mix, too, because that is a Royal Rumble match. So if anybody's wondering if that's going to be in the mix, who knows? Maybe we'll figure that out as we do the podcast. That's kind of the whole point of this whole thing. Very quickly, just to get it out of the way ahead of time, if you are checking us out on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the little notification bell, hit the applause button if you feel so inclined, and hit the join button if you want to be a part of the non-Patreon, but still kind of Patreon side of things there. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SmartGoutMoment, and I'll do some other plugs a little bit later on. I don't really feel like bogging that down too much. So one of the other ground rules that I would say here for the specifications of what we would pick through, the good or the bad and whatever. I think that, agree or disagree on this, you guys can argue whether or not you are on the same wavelength. I think that how things play out after the Royal Rumble should be a factor, but maybe shouldn't be the biggest factor. For instance, I'm not going to, bury the lead too much here, but the 2018 Royal Rumble with Shinsuke Nakamura, I remember being a fun Royal Rumble, but it didn't amount to anything. So in retro viewings, it doesn't mean as much to me, and that hinders it. And I don't think that that's an invalid judgment of it. What do you guys think?
I think that's fair, because part of the what makes a Royal Rumble special is, hey, they're going to WrestleMania, and we won't see this a lot in the beginning, but in recent years, they're going to WrestleMania doesn't always mean, wow, they're going to be etched in immortality. You know, like sometimes, like just to use Shinsuke as an example, where's Shinsuke right now? It doesn't really feel like, oh man, this is a guy who fought for the title at WrestleMania. I think it's fair.
Yeah, I think you can play a factor into it. I don't think it should be a major factor in it, though, because there's one match in particular that I have in my mind, which the guy who wins it doesn't win the title WrestleMania. But so I don't necessarily think that it needs to be like a be or end all thing, but it's definitely something that could maybe separate one from going in to one that we keep out on the sidelines.
So what other kind of things do you think are going to influence your decisions here? I mean, the winner, obviously.
Yeah, the winner's a big deal. I think we need to consider like particulars, like people that within it that did had their own like little stories or developments that actually took place within the match outside of just the whole overarching, okay, this guy's going to win. So I don't think there's too much in terms of like surprise returns or anything like that. It just needs to feel like it was a fun match that was all kind of had little bits and pieces in it, which made the entirety of the hour-long spectacle that you're watching enjoyable, and then came to a satisfying conclusion at the end of it.
Yeah, like for me, I also think we have to factor in what was the roster like at that point, because the cool thing about the Rumble is it's like this yearly census of who's in the company and who's a big deal. But for example, I couldn't tell you anybody important outside of the Final Four from the 2009 Rumble. Like, who was there? Did they, was it a lot of like Carlitos and Primos, or was it, this star-studded roster?
And also, if you're looking at things like that, it's a snapshot of time of whether or not somebody's going to be bigger or go nowhere, or if they're a big deal at the time or whatever. Because if you look at like, say like the 1990 Royal Rumble, you've got people like Bret and Shawn, and they're just nowhere near as big of a deal. So you can't really judge that as like, oh, it's got Shawn Michaels in this, it's got Bret Hart in this, because they're mid-carders. They're not legends at that time. So it's not just like who is in the Royal Rumble, it's how they're in the Royal Rumble too, is another factor, I think. And another thing I would bring up is the pacing of the Royal Rumble changes over the course of a couple of years. Like, it starts off without 30 people, it's just 20. Then it gets to 30, the rhythm kind of stays. Then they get to 2011 is the 40? 2011, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's 40. Then there's like 50 in the greatest Royal Rumble. You go back down to 30 or whatever. Most of them are 30, but they have different pacings between them too. Even 95 is only 60 seconds in between and whatever. So
it's 30. Well, even no, it's 30 minutes long because it is 60 seconds.
Yeah, 60 seconds apiece, which just breezes by, which is good in some ways and bad in some ways. So I'm not personally going to be voting my options based off of what's the longest and what's got the most people in it. It's more so for me, it's what's overall the best product, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lean a lot, I think, on personal preference as well, just for all of us, just because it's the ones that we fondly remember, and one that one of us will fondly remember probably is one that just slips by the memory of other people. So depend a lot on the strength of some of these arguments, probably.
So we got 37. Yeah. 37 different Royal Rumbles that we can pick from, which is a lot. But I also think that we can actually knock a bunch of them out pretty quickly. I would say pretty definitively, I don't think anybody's going to pick 88, 89, 90, or 91.
Well, 88 is the first one. It's obviously, it's like proof of concept, and it's not memorable at all. Like, there's just some things. Like, I bet you don't know that, like, Bret Hart is the first person to ever be in a Royal Rumble. Like, he's number one in the first. Warrior's in there, and he gets treated like a nobody. 88 is not going to be on anybody's Mount Rushmore.
No, unless, obviously, of course, you do the quote-unquote Mount Rushmore thing of, like, well, the George Washington is the first president, so the Royal Rumble, that's the first ever Royal Rumble, so it should be on there, but you're only putting it on there because it's the first, not because it's actually earned being on there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you were the fortunate one that got to be there first. It's pretty much the same with the others as well. The 89 one, don't remember really anything about it. The 1991 one's won by Hulk Hogan. The only thing that really I know of that memorably happened in those ones is the big stare down between Warrior and Hogan in 90, which obviously led to their match, WrestleMania 6. But the actual matches itself didn't really amount to anything because Hogan was just the big star in those matches.
89 has the fun bit where DiBiase pays for the number 30 spot, but it's also awkwardly won by a past his prime Big John Studd, so it's just this weird throwaway match. 90, like Callum said, it's the Hogan and Warrior stare down. It's actually the first really good one. Like, you've got a lot of guys in their prime in that Rumble. You got Savage, Dusty, you've got DiBiase, Hogan, Warrior. There's some good stuff in the 91, but that I wouldn't put on it. And I don't like the 91 Rumble at all, so I could just skip right by then.
And I think fundamentally the biggest thing that eliminates those four is the fact there are no stakes attached to that match.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that really hinders that quite a bit because, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan wins and it's like, oh, great, he won this gimmicky match. Big John Studd won. He's the, you know, the first winner of a 30-man Royal Rumble. And Hulk Hogan wins because it's Hulk Hogan. But
he's the champion. So that's at least, like, you can say he's the only time the incumbent WWE champion won the Rumble.
Yeah, and it's not like the title's on the line, which didn't happen until 92, but that's a different circumstance. So it's not like he did that to defend the championship or anything. So there really isn't much of a purpose to it. It's kind of like Survivor Series. It doesn't really matter. It's just something to, you know, a pat on the back kind of thing. But
how do you, from 92... do you want to talk about 92 now? Or do you want to, like, this is obviously the first one. So,
well, I do want to, at the very least, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
here's how,
ones which we don't want.
Here's how I would say it's worth talking about 92. I'll already say it's already one of the ones that I would consider a potential Mount Rushmore. So it's like kind of like asterisk on 92 kind of a thing. However, I personally don't like the championship being on the line in the Royal Rumble. So I would already rule out the 2016 one of Triple H winning. That had some value to it. It's not like it's a bad Royal Rumble or anything. And the way that they booked it with Triple H stealing the championship or whatever, it makes a lot of sense. But to me, that was a little... that was too much of the era of people not liking Roman Reigns and WWE being like, damn it, we're just going to do it anyway. And I don't think it went over as well as it could have in a different era.
I like the 2016 one because It's the only time somebody actually defends the world title in the Rumble. He is number one. He almost goes all the way. They did a weird thing where he gets eliminated by Triple H and he's not the final one because, like Tony said, this was in the era of, well, we know they don't like him, so if we get rid of him and make them think Ambrose can do it, then we'll at least have that exciting, oh, will they actually pull the trigger on Ambrose? But I like that one, and in retrospect already, that's the debut of AJ Styles. They do some fun stuff in there. So I wouldn't put it on a Mount Rushmore, but I wouldn't totally disregard it as well.
Well, it's definitely not going on the Mount Rushmore for me. I don't think it's a terrible Rumble, but it's not one of the ones that I remember most fondly.
Yeah. But like I said, there's value to it. It's just, to me, if we're picking four, I can guarantee there's going to be four more than that.
Also, if we talk about the fact that what this led to Triple H versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 32, which is one of the worst main events in WrestleMania history. So,
I know we're not talking about all the matches, but I really do think that that match suffered from the outcome was never in question. And WrestleMania is already like a 6-hour show and people were just like, all right, I'm going home. And that's why you see a bunch of people filing out in the middle of the match.
Well, if we're talking about that, let's talk about the two that led up to that point, too. 2014 and 2015 can't possibly go on the Mount Rushmore.
No.
Because 2014 is the year, for anybody who's like, you know, trying to keep track of all these years, I've got the list in front of me because I even lose track every once in a while. 2014 is the year where everybody, it seemed, wanted Daniel Bryan to win, despite the fact that he was not advertised to be in the Royal Rumble.
I maintain that one in particular is on the people. They never once told you this man is in the Rumble.
No, but that's on the company for never ever advertising who's in the Royal Rumble leading up to it. That's on the company. It's not like the company made a habit of saying this guy's definitely in the Rumble. And in years leading up to that, they'd had shows where I think it was in like 2011 where Randy Orton loses the WWE title match in the previous show and then enters the Royal Rumble.
It's like,
even though Daniel Bryan was in the match earlier in the night, it doesn't mean that he wasn't going to be in the Royal Rumble as well. So if you set a precedent and then you don't follow up on it, unless you specifically say Daniel Bryan is not going to be in the Royal Rumble, or you show a graphic of the 30 people that are going to be in the Royal Rumble, then people aren't necessarily just going to think that he's going to be in it, because of course, it made total sense for Daniel Bryan to be in the Royal Rumble because he should have won that Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, in previous years, they've had The Miz go into the Royal Rumble. I think it was Miz, right?
They had a United States title match in the previous night.
Yeah, so they
watched that one.
They go in there, so it's not like, well, they've already got a match on the card, so they can't be in it. CM Punk went into, or no, it wasn't CM Punk, it was Chavo. Went into the Royal Rumble as ECW champion, which that was the first time that it was ever like, why is the champion going in there? Oh, it's because it's not a world championship. Oh, okay. Now we'd realize that it's not a world championship. Like, there's a lot in that one.
See, we're going to talk about 2008. About the Royal Rumble, and what made that weird for me was the year prior, Lashley held the ECW title and was very much included in the mm-hmm. Will Undertaker challenge Lashley.
Yeah, that's why it was really strange to see the ECW champion in the Royal Rumble. And then when you go, oh, it's because it's no longer on par with that. Right. Okay. Like that made a big statement about that. We'll get into 2008 in a different way later on.
Well, I think the biggest sign that it wasn't on par with the two world titles was the fact that Chavo Guerrero was holding.
That could be that. Correct. Thing, yeah. So instead, people think that Daniel Bryan is going to go into the Royal Rumble, and they're disappointed that he's not. And it gets to the point where it's like, okay, well, he's got to at least be number 30. And Rey Mysterio comes out, people boo Rey Mysterio, which isn't a normal thing. But they boo not because it's Rey Mysterio. They boo because it's not Daniel Bryan. Anybody would have gotten booed at that point. So it ends up with Batista and Roman Reigns. And this is before people hated Roman Reigns. But it might be the start of it a little bit in some ways, where Batista wins by eliminating Roman Reigns. People are cheering Roman Reigns because he's a heel at the time, if I remember correctly.
Shield is still heels at this point.
people are like, oh my God, they're going with Batista and we don't want to see Batista win. So let's go with Roman. At least it's going to be a new guy. Cut to 2015. WWE goes, oh, well, they cheered Roman Reigns in 2014. So we're going to give it the ball to him and whatever. And people go, no, 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 we still want Daniel Bryan. And WWE almost purposely goes out of their way to throw him out early just to be like, no, F you, which just upsets people. And I mean, yeah, there's video evidence of it. I'm at the Royal Rumble in 2015. I'm recording ahead of time in the parking lot asking people, what do you think? And people are like, anyone but Roman. It's got to be Daniel Bryan. Anyone but Roman. So WWE knows full well. They can't possibly not know. They do the research. They can see what's happening on social media, whatever. They know people are going to be upset. And they book it in a way to be like, almost kind of like a kick in the balls, sort of. Now, I personally, I was cheering for Roman Reigns to win it because I wanted Roman to beat Brock and to be that guy. And then, of course, Roman doesn't even end up doing that because he ends up being the cash in at WrestleMania instead. So 2015 is definitely out of the mix. There's no way that that gets on there.
I want to go over that a little bit. 2014 is the start of it, and it's because, actually, Punk starts out the Rumble. He gets eliminated by Kane.
Punk's last match, yeah.
And then he never wrestles again. But the reason that people, by that point, were just shitting all over Roman is because they didn't give him anything new after the Shield. Ambrose changed, Rollins changed. Roman was just like, you're just going to be the Shield guy. And we're just going to throw everything behind you. And there was, of course, the Punk podcast with the, oh, they want to make Roman look strong. And as soon as people heard that, they were done with Roman. As soon as it was like, he is the anointed one and all that. And then there's the obnoxious issue of you don't put Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble match unless you're at least going to let him get to the final two. And when they had Daniel Bryan be eliminated, no questions asked, by Bray Wyatt, within, I think, what was it, somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes of his entry, it was just like nobody cared. Roman Reigns got people to boo The Rock.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst Royal Rumble experiences I can ever recall watching.
Yeah, Bryan lasted 10 minutes and 10 seconds. He was number 10, and he got eliminated as the 12th person.
That's terrible.
It's also one of the most just egregious endings to Rumble, obviously with the Roman winning and The Rock coming out to help him. And they do the bait and switch of Rusev, which makes Rusev the biggest baby face in the company for like 2 minutes before he gets eliminated. But it's about the Big Show and Kane as well. Like these two massive, over-the-hill wrestlers just eliminating every other baby face in the match. So Bray Wyatt was in the Rumble the longest. They eliminate him. They eliminate Dean Ambrose. They eliminate Dolph Ziggler. They eliminate everybody outside of Roman Reigns. And then as soon as it's Roman Reigns left, they start fighting each other because that makes sense. And that's like, they might as well just said at that point, we're going to start fighting each other because this guy is going to win the match. So we just like have to start hitting each other now.
You know how if you listen to the Pritchard podcast, he'll say things like, well, what would Hogan do? That was a very like, we're just going to book this as though it's 1989 and Hulk Hogan's going over, because none of that was pleasing to the audience.
And then they do this weird thing with Rusev where it's like, oh, but Rusev might actually win. Nah, never mind. Where it's like, that's really like, it's a trolling kind of Royal Rumble. You know, like they go out of their way to set up Bray Wyatt and Rusev to get a lot of eliminations. Rusev gets 6 and Wyatt gets 7. So they get the most per match outside of Roman Reigns, who gets 6 as well. But Bray Wyatt gets 7. So he wins that little accolade. But it's like, so you want us to really think that there's a lot of stuff behind Wyatt and a lot behind Rusev, but not enough. And also, screw Daniel Bryan. Why are you guys cheering him? He's out of the Royal Rumble already. And like you said, that's, you know, Big Show and Kane, which I've never had an issue with Big Show and Kane, but a lot of people have always been very like anti, oh, Big Show should just retire and whatever. So they got to know that at that point too, of just being like, well, it's not going to be something that goes over super well. It's also the Royal Rumble where Curtis Axel doesn't get eliminated because of the whole Eric Rowan thing, and which I like the whole Axelmania type thing. That was fun, but that also is sort of like, it was just a joke. And it's just a weird Royal Rumble. Like, out of all the ones, that's the one that I ended up having that I saw in person. And I'm glad that I saw it in person and everything, but it is a weird Royal Rumble. So to me, it's like, that's a guaranteed no for sure. What other guaranteed no's do you guys think you would put out on the list?
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's got to go down as guaranteed no too. I mean,
I just rewatched that a couple weeks ago. It's not good.
There's some fun elements to it, but it's very little.
Yeah, it has no stakes attached to it because it's basically Braun Strowman just won a green belt, so which we've never seen since that point.
No, and not even the day afterward.
Yeah, and then it's full of just mostly jobbers. Like a couple of things, obviously Daniel Bryan being in number one, just surviving all the way through, is great. But it's other than that, it's just a load of nobody's really in the Rumble outside of him, Strowman, Gab Lashley in there for a while.
He gets eliminated by Big Cass, if that wants you, you know, that yeah, tells no. you where we're at.
This was right after Daniel Bryan got cleared to return to action, and they're like, let's put you in at number one and have you wrestle for like two and a half hours.
Let's have you wrestle an hour. Like, yeah. Oh, you're cleared now. It's all good.
And then let's give you, here's your first feud back, Big Cass.
Yeah.
But what do you mean we have to turn him heel to get him any sort of attention back on him?
My favorite thing about that, and it's even funnier now seeing as how things have gone, Tucker was randomly in that Rumble. And this is at the point where they're not even really on NXT TV that much. And they're just like, oh, here's Tucker. Otis. Just here's Tucker.
Babatunde's in this too. Yeah. Let's get a big guy in there. He's big.
And this random sumo wrestler because they wanted Yokozuna.
Yeah, that's so strange. Let's have Yoko. We can't because he's dead. Oh, well, get another Yoko.
We can give you a Yokozuna.
Yeah.
So
what if they would have built him as that? Coming to the ring from whatever, a Yokozuna. Yeah, greatest Royal Rumble, not making it to the list.
Other stuff, and again, I don't want to just like paint this as brush or whatever, but it's just a case of they haven't been as good as the four best men's Rumbles, so all three women's Royal Rumbles, I'd say, are out of it as well.
I'm glad that you're getting that out of the way. I really enjoyed the first one. Right? Well, except for Stephanie on commentary. But the first one was pretty good. The other two, I can't really say, oh, wow, you know, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And they all led to these great payoffs. Because, yeah, the Becky thing was cool. But they went through this convoluted way of getting her in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Charlotte, we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast. So, you know, the women's Rumble last year was great with Bianca and all that, but the payoff, not so much. So I'm eliminating all three women's Rumbles.
I fully agree for multiple reasons that we've already said. Like, Asuka wins the Royal Rumble, awesome, fails at WrestleMania. Becky wins the Royal Rumble, convoluted way to get it to that, succeeds at WrestleMania, but that's also the year where for some reason, they decided that both Royal Rumble matches should have somebody get attacked and then replaced. They really shouldn't have done that with the men's. Because what was the men's? It was Nia Jax attacks R-Truth. Was it worth it? No. It would have been better if it wouldn't have been that. If Becky would have just gotten in separately. And then the Charlotte thing, yeah, she ruins Rhea Ripley's momentum, so screw that. But they are fun matches to watch. So it's not like they're completely invalid. It's just we're looking for the top four here. So,
and that's the thing about all of these. The Royal Rumble is easily the best gimmick match and the most fun match of the year. But there's just some that, in comparison to the others, are lackluster. Like, I'm going to say right now, the year 2000 Royal Rumble, Madison Square Garden, not getting anywhere near my Mount Rushmore. I think that match sucks.
I don't know what I would say my least favorite Royal Rumble is. It's got to be probably 88, just because it's just old timey, and you know, people are just kind of standing there doing like those horrible headbutts that they used to do, and like, God, what's that move that they did constantly in the old days where like they would put their arms up really far, and then they would really just kind of make it look like they're just sort of scratching the other person's back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you would necessarily even call it, but people did that all the time, and it's old-timey wrestling is not my thing. It's just grappling, and I'm not into it. So, like, I'm excited to watch what we're probably going to end up watching for the fan announce table, which is most likely going to be the 1991 Royal Rumble, because it's old in a different way, but it's old that's it just enough where it's still kind of fun. But I don't know what would be my least favorite. So all of these that I'm going to be approaching, they're all fun in some ways, even though if there's like an annoying winner or how they went about doing it might be a little bit annoying. Like, I'll admit, the 2012 Royal Rumble, to me, it still annoys me that Sheamus won. I've warmed up to Sheamus considerably over the years. I don't hate him like I used to. Actually, I'm a fan of Sheamus now. But he never should have won that Royal Rumble. It should have been Jericho.
It should have been Jericho. And that was one of those, like, but you think it's going to be Jericho, so we're just going to go the other way. That was, like, the start of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it really should have been Jericho. I would have checked off, like, the last check on the list for him, too, which is crazy. But the 2012 Royal Rumble, to me, I remember the decent back and forth between Sheamus and Jericho, the Foley, Sacco, Santino, Cobra thing, and
which is great.
Nothing else. Literally nothing else.
The 2013, I think, goes under the same kind of way. John Cena wins that one, and it should have been Ryback.
Okay, well, I've said it in the past, I very much agree with you that it should have been Ryback. But in retrospect, I really like that it was so simple, and John won, and then he won at Mania, because you don't see a lot of that anymore. And I just enjoy how that played out. But it should have been Ryback.
I mean, I can see the argument of, well, John Cena wins that, and that's how he gets the title match with The Rock and whatever. But the fact that they screwed over Ryback multiple different types of ways just still doesn't sit well with me.
Probably
even
why he is the way he is today.
Yeah, I mean, even though it seems maybe that would not have worked out still the best way if they would have gone in a different direction, but Ryback should have, I don't know, Ryback should have won the championship from Big Show, and it still sticks in a weird way. 2013, I don't remember anything else happening.
I remember Dolph Ziggler was number one. This was like, Dolph Ziggler was still, oh wow, he can really, really, really be something. And this is the beginning of Callum's favorite trope of he's going to act like he's getting eliminated 50 times in a match. And then I think it was Sheamus who just bro-kicked him out. And it was like, okay, that's the end of Dolph's run. It was a good run. It would have been more impactful had he won it. But yeah, 2013, not going on my Mount Rushmore.
Was this the first year that Kofi started doing the saves?
I think that was 2012.
Yeah, he would have started doing it. I think it was even 2011 that he started doing that.
Because I think Morrison was still there in 2011. That's why I know it wasn't that year.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Morrison saves himself first. Then Kofi takes it to a whole new level. And then Naomi repeats a lot of the Kofi Kingston spots. And people are like, oh my God, Naomi's great. It's like, Kofi did them already. Like, you know, Casey Catanzaro's, I think, even better when it comes
Casey
to that.
Casey did a really good one, the one that she was in.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one with Tensai in it and whatever. Yeah, so no, screw 2013 too. I guess let's flip it around. Let's talk about a good one here, at least from my perspective. There's a lot that I like about the 1994 Royal Rumble.
I knew you. See, when Callum said in the beginning that it was going to come down to perspective, I said this is going to be 1994 because Callum hasn't seen it and Tony's going to love it. Okay, go ahead, Tony.
agree or disagree, this is how I feel about it. 1994 gives you a surprise finish, something that we hadn't seen before, two babyface options, which gives them a chance to be like, well, let's figure something else out going into WrestleMania. One of the babyface options works out really well with WrestleMania, with Brett. Luger, obviously not as much, but then again, that's kind of part of the story. there's the whole Brett coming back from an injury type of thing. So that gets like a little bit of the intrigue there of like, well, Brett can't possibly win. Now he's got like a bum leg and whatever. And there's actually quite a bit of like, quote unquote, star power in it. Like they make Diesel look ridiculously strong in that. You Crush is another big dude in that. They've got a spot at the end that I really like quite a bit, which is one of the head shrinkers, I think it is. Or no.
I think it's Samu.
It's and Sean are the part of the final four with Brett and Luger, and they kind of swap dance partners and run towards the opposite end, and Luger and Brett toss the other two out to get to the final two like that.
It's done flawlessly. It is a good little rumble moment, but here's why, like, it just can't be on a Mount Rushmore. First of all, hindsight 2020, that should have been just Brett. Like, I like Lex Luger. I don't even think he's as bad as a lot of people like to say he is now.
He's got the total package.
I think Luger is great. And if you weren't going to at least give him the win over Yoko and then let him put over Brett, you shouldn't have had him anywhere near the WrestleMania thing. I do like that they genuinely hit at the same time. There's no, like,
yeah,
shenanigans there. But at the end of the day, this is also a rumble with, like, Sparky Plug. And I'm sure, like, IRS is in there. Mabel, like, Hip Hop Mabel is in there. Not even King Mabel. It's not a memorable year outside of like the Diesel moment is cool and the ending is cool, but it's not a memorable rumble outside of that.
Cal, make it official. Tell me why it's two votes no.
Well, the only reason I can really give it a no is because I don't remember seeing it. So I literally can't give it one way or the other, really.
No, that's not fun. This is the rumble where they make Diesel. Go off on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obviously problematic going forward, but I guess it just the convoluted way of ending it. I know they haven't done a co-winner before, but there's a good reason why they haven't done the co-winner since that, because it wasn't a good idea. So I just feel like Bret Hart would have been the right choice to do it. I think maybe they decided to go with Lex Luger and Bret Hart because Vince wanted Lex Luger to win and the crowd wanted Bret to win. And so they gave themselves a bit more time to come to their senses and give it to Bret Hart in the end of it, really, WrestleMania 10. But yeah, I'm just looking at the list of people that are in it. There are some ones, but it's like there's Randy Savage in it. But is this one where like he gets like, I know it's not the one where he eliminates himself, but it's where he's gonna enter a feud with Crush. So like that's like, okay, that's what you're doing with Randy Savage at that point in time. And so Bastian Booger unable to compete. Why was Bastian Booger not allowed to get into the match?
I imagine he was too fat. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't remember why they take him out of the match. I don't think that they actually gave a rationalization behind it.
It just says to here, like, just number 25, Bastian Booger unable to compete. And then it's just there. It's just like surely they could have found a replacement for Bastian Booger at the last minute.
Is it Kabuki in that rumble and?
Yeah, Tenryu, yeah. And Quang. You got Quang in this one, and Virgil.
Good for Savio Vega.
This is a weird group. This has got Doink the Clown and Randy Savage and Billy Gunn and the Steiner Bros and Tatanka and Adam Bomb. And
it's Valentine just like, was still wrestling in 94.
What is he doing in the Royal Rumble in 90? Well, there's some weird ones like that. Like Rick Martel, for whatever reason, is in the 1995. Royal Rumble.
He's in 94 too.
Yeah, he's in this one as well. Yeah.
It's very odd.
Yeah. Just a fun, like, I like this one.
It's a fun snapshot in time, like Tony was saying. That's what makes the Royal Rumbles great. But since we're talking about the co-winner issue, I want to talk about something that's always really messed with me, and that's the 2005 Royal Rumble. Because they legitimately, supposedly, mess up with Cena and Batista.
It just seems impossible for them to mess up like that.
Right, but why didn't they just go, and you are the co-winners, because you're both going to Mania.
Right.
On different shows. That was the one that you could have been like, hey, they're co-winners. Raw, SmackDown. We're done here. Vince McMahon did not have to tear his quad. Both quads, actually. trying to figure that one out. This was easy. But since we're talking 2005, I like that one a lot, actually. I think it's a lot of fun. Yeah, that, Do you recall that one?
Yeah, that's a fun rumble. I did enjoy it. I think they spent a lot of time building Edge in that one as well.
Yep.
They spend a lot of time with. I think the final four is Batista, Cena, Edge, and Mysterio, I believe. And they spend a lot of time with they spend a lot of time in the ring. Those two before you actually get to the two main people they're going to have in it. Ric Flair in at number 30 was hilarious because he was always just copying Batista's eliminations and then he tries to eliminate Batista and just falls down.
Yeah.
Try to do it. So it's just like that was a lot of fun. Started with Eddie and
Benoit,
yeah, and they beat the shit out of Daniel Puder for about 5 minutes.
Right,
gets eliminated. That's the only thing Daniel Puder ever did as like a signed like WWE superstar.
Muhammad Hassan comes in.
Oh yeah, and everyone eliminates it. Oh yeah, there was that one point where they did like the four SmackDown guys on one side and four Raw guys on the other, and they start fighting like Raw versus SmackDown. Then Muhammad Hassan comes out, and they all just want to get rid of him because they don't like people that claim that America is Islamophobic.
It's a good moment though. Like it's one of those weird like Hassan has a great run. As short as it is, it's a really, really good run.
Oh, and this also sets up Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 21 as well.
And that is a great wrestling match, and it was a great way to start it. Oh, and so, it's got that Paul London elimination, too.
Oh, yeah, from Gene Snitsky, where he just flips out of the thing. Yeah,
that's a great moment.
It is a good rumble. I don't know whether it's like quite there yet, but it's definitely leaning more for me. But then again, it's something that I've definitely watched multiple times over.
Tony, have you seen this one? I feel like you might not have.
No, I've seen every single Royal Rumble multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Can I talk about this one? It might be slightly controversial because, again, going back into it a little bit. Royal Rumble 95.
It's not good.
Now.
Yeah.
I know people have a soft spot for this because it's Michaels winning, going coast to coast, 1 to 30. And he wins from... And it's the first time it's ever happened. And so that's a historical moment. This Royal Rumble is not good.
Yeah.
It's
look,
really bad.
I make no amends to the idea that Shawn Michaels is my favorite of all time. This is one of my favorite endings to a Royal Rumble, but this Royal Rumble shit. It's just not good.
It goes less than 40 minutes because, again, this is the one with the 60-second timers. But just look through the list of people in this outside of Michaels and the British Bulldog, and it is just a load of absolute tosh, really.
It's like Jacob and Eli Blue. It's Doug Gilbert.
It's like, a past his prime, Bob Backlund and Dick Murdoch, and like Lex Luger's the only other real name in this rumble, it seems. Maybe Owen Hart as well, if you could class that one.
I feel like in the build to this, a lot of the emphasis is on Sean, Luger, Owen, Backlund. Because Backlund, you could say past his prime, but he was just WWF champion, so it was like he was being built well going into the thing, and then for both Owen and Backlund, they have Brett kind of take him out immediately because he's mad about something earlier in the night. So you lose two of your major stars right there, and then the rest of this fucking list is just abhorrent. Like, it is not good.
And there's some talented people in there. It's just that's not the year for that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, to a certain extent, different people had different careers here and there. So, you know, when you look at somebody like even like a Lex Luger, it's like, you know, he's got positives and negatives. But like Owen Hart,
Montoya,
great.
Is in there,
like, you know? Bulldog, great.
Owen Hart's barely in there. He's in there for 3 seconds.
Right, yeah. And like there is a certain level of like, all right, Henry O. Godwin, okay, but he's not the biggest deal in the world. But most of it is Mantar and way over the hill King Kong Bundy and Timothy Well, Steve Dunn, like just what? If half of the Royal Rumble is made up of people that aren't really even on the roster, that's saying something.
Well, no, the thing is, Timothy Well and Steven Dunn, we're on the main roster. It's just they're Timothy Well and Steven Dunn, and nobody remembers them.
Tom Pritchard's there and Sione, which that's not the best version of that. You know, you got Duke the Dumpster Drosy, who's not ever going to be anything in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. I'm just checking the stats as well, and like 7 people in this Royal Rumble get eliminated in less than 30 seconds.
And that is a huge issue. The whole 60 seconds in, I know sometimes Rumbles drag, but not only did this make the match that much worse, but it takes away from the fact that Shawn Michaels could have gone an hour if he needed to. And it makes it, yeah, he went coast to coast, but he went coast to coast in the worst Royal Rumble match ever.
Yeah.
So it really does take away from it.
People make a big deal about that he went from number one, and then it's like, yeah, well, he also didn't have to wrestle an extra 20-something minutes compared to somebody like Rey Mysterio, who goes from number two.
Yeah, and several of these spots in this match are taken up by absolute schlubs.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, Rey doing that from the number two spot is literally the same as the number one spot.
And to cap it all off, not only does Michaels not win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, he doesn't even main event WrestleMania.
Yeah, so that's like definitively 95 might be the overall worst in some ways. Not in every way, but in some ways. Because obviously it's cool that they do the whole 1 foot thing. The Shawn Michaels rule is cool. But 96 is so much better than 95. I would say 96 probably not going to be in the Mount Rushmore, but it is one of the ones that I enjoy.
I think it's an underrated one. There's a lot of fun moments in there. Hunter starts it out and goes almost an hour. Hunter goes longer than Shawn, the one that Shawn wins. There's the fun thing where Waller hides under the ring for half the match. Shawn eliminates Yoko and Vader at the same time because he's Superman now.
Vader tosses a bunch of people out and then they have to say that it doesn't count.
There's a lot of really good stuff in there. There's the Shawn eliminating Diesel right away with the super kick. It's a fun Royal Rumble. I dare say it's not going to get anywhere near the Mount Rushmore, but it is at least one that if you're listening to this and you want to go back and check one out that doesn't get talked about, this might be one.
There's quite a lot of, in looking back at the 95 one, there's a lot of padding in this one as well, with just people that have got no rights being it. What, Squat Teamer 1 and Squat Teamer 2?
you don't like the headhunters?
I just don't know who they are. So it's like,
maybe you'd know them if you saw a picture. I'll try to find a picture for you. But
Manuel and Victor Santiago, probably no. Doug Gilbert. That's Dory Funk Jr., which is cool. That's a nice little touch.
that's odd, but yeah.
It's a Takao Amori. Why couldn't they get anyone decent from New Japan in this, at this point in time?
This is where Steve Austin's the ringmaster and he does the Michaels pose. And looks really weird. Tiny.
He looks so small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's it definitely wouldn't get on my list based on like star power, but it's definitely better than the 95 one. So that's not really saying much.
Here's one that maybe people would go, "Wow, you're gonna take this out already?" But I would say a no for a guaranteed no to me is 1999.
Oh, no, it's awful.
That's not good. It's a one angle match, and that angle goes on way, way, way too long and gets way too convoluted throughout the entire thing.
Here's the thing about 1999, at least in my opinion. It is the most over year in the company. They could literally fart for 2 hours and people be like, "The wrestling is so good." But everything they do that year is just not that good. It's not. And this is dumb. Because first of all, Austin could have been the first ever 3-time Royal Rumble winner back to back to back. And then again, you're doing convoluted things where Vince won, but obviously Vince isn't gonna challenge the champion, so you gotta go through St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Well, the angle is fine. It's still not a good Rumble, and it takes away from people who could have had a good year.
Yeah.
The only other notable thing in this match, I believe this is where Mabel becomes Viscera, because on his way to the ring. The ministry just takes him. And China. China's number 30.
You see, my issue isn't as much the angle, it's how they did it. Because it is interesting to have Mr. McMahon win a Royal Rumble and that he screws Austin, whatever. But they start off with those two, and I think it's like Golga's number 3 or something. I forget who number 3 is.
He was definitely one of the earlier ones, yeah.
And they just don't pay any attention to the Royal Rumble. They just start like, okay, well, then now we're just going to track Austin and McMahon. And you're like, well, the fucking Royal Rumble is going on. Like, that is still the Royal Rumble. There still should have been maybe a handful of people that could have been like, well, maybe that person's going to win now because these guys are going to take them out of the equation. And then we're going to get like Austin versus McMahon at Royal Rumble at WrestleMania in a separate match. And then this other person's going to win and challenge the championship. That could have been a good way of telling things. And then it's just surprise, surprise, it ends up coming back to that. But when you cut away from the Royal Rumble and you have people standing in the ring, it's like draws or something, is standing in the ring just not doing anything. And then it's like, well, let's see what these guys are doing fighting in the bathroom. You're like, okay, so just skip to the end when it's Austin McMahon. You know? It invalidates everything else.
Let's not also forget the segment in the match where Kane comes in, eliminates the four other guys that are in the ring, then a bunch of guys in white coats come out, and he climbs over the top rope, eliminates himself, and then you have to reset the Rumble over again.
Yeah, this is just a mess.
This is very, to me, this feels like it's very Vince Russo. Well, nobody really cares about a Royal Rumble. They care about Austin and McMahon and the characters, and it's like, I care about the Royal Rumble. I would have had more fun watching a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, at that point, this was the 11th or the 12th Royal Rumble. People care. I don't know if this is a little harsh, but I mentioned before the 2018 one with Shinsuke Nakamura. I'll also say the 2017 one with Randy Orton and the 2019 one of Seth Rollins. Just nah. They just happened, and I still don't remember too much about them.
I don't remember a great deal that happened in any of the matches. I don't think Orton winning was a good idea, especially because it led to that match with Bray Wyatt, which sucked. It was one of the worst matches for the WWE Championship in WrestleMania history.
But Shinsuke they've got winning, worms.
Shinsuke winning didn't do anything for him. He doesn't feel like a guy now that is a former Royal Rumble winner or a guy that fought for the title at WrestleMania. And Rollins, obviously, he got the moment at WrestleMania, so that's a positive on his side of it. And he did last a long time in that Rumble, but it wasn't the most memorable Rumble. And then everything beyond him winning the title pretty much went downhill pretty quickly.
As a match, I think easily the best one of the three is the 2018 Rumble. Yep. It's a shame that Shinsuke winning didn't do anything, because that Rumble is actually a very good one. 2017 was built on, hey, it's Taker and Goldberg and Brock, and all that really got set up was Taker versus Roman, and we all know how that match went. So largely, I feel like the Rumble is, I don't want to say it's been hurt in recent years, but it's definitely losing some of its luster.
Having said that, I think 2020 could be in the conversation.
I think it could be too.
I think that's one of the great, I think, honestly, and we'll obviously talk about other ones as well, and I know there are ones that might be mentioned, but I think between 2008 and this one, this 2020 is the greatest Rumble since 2008. Just because the way it was structured, I know a lot of people might have been annoyed about Lesnar coming in for the first half of it and just dominating the Rumble, but it led to such a satisfying, and to be fair, Lesnar just destroying people for a while is something that personally I find incredibly entertaining. And it's not like he was always just eliminating people immediately. He had the fun segments with Mysterio and The New Day taking him on, and Big E and Braun Strowman battling him as well. But then he had MVP's return as well. You had that little funny moment with Shelton Benjamin being like all chummy before throwing him out. And then you have Drew McIntyre, you have Ricochet, low blow him, and Drew McIntyre kick him out. And then it's like, okay, that's part one of the Rumble. Let's move on to part two. Let's have Edge come back. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You have all this other stuff building up about isn't it like the last like four or five people that come in are all built around this ongoing feud between Rollins' crew and Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe and all those people. So you kind of have that element thrown into it as well, but it's all built around Drew is great and Roman's in there and you have Edge back as well. I just think that it was a lot of fun, this Rumble.
And they do this well too, where you got like the Edge and Orton stuff, where you get like a moment of Rated RKO is back and the one's going to turn on the other. Oh, wait, the other one turned on the other one. That kind of thing's fun. You get Roman eliminating Edge. So you know that people are going to boo Roman, which sets up that Drew can beat Roman too, which is like, okay, he gets an even bigger reaction that way. And it sets up Survivor Series. It pays off of Drew losing to Roman at WrestleMania the prior year. And on top of that, gives Roman another thing to be like, yeah, I was number two at another Royal Rumble, and I would have won that, and I'm the tribal chief because I'm fucking great, whatever. I think, honestly, 2020 is one of those things that I might say that might be in the Mount Rushmore, which is really weird.
I'd put a pin in it. I think that's a very fun Rumble, and it does something that not a lot of appearances by Brock Lesnar had done. It shows a lot of character. It shows a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a staunch, not advocate, what would be the opposite of advocate? not a fan of, of Brock Lesnar in a lot of different ways. But my issue has never been Brock in his entirety. It's always been if something serves a purpose. I never like Brock coming in, spending weeks and weeks or months or even a full year or so as champion and not actually doing anything other than you wait a couple of months until the next event. Paul Heyman cuts the same promo. Brock beats somebody in 3 minutes by just doing German suplexes. And then you start the whole thing all over again and you wait another 3 months. That is what annoys me. But if he's doing something where it serves a purpose, then it could be fun. Like, I liked Brock beating the shit out of everybody in the beginning of this because he is still Brock Lesnar and it sets up Drew. If it was just Brock beating everybody and Brock wins, then I would have been really annoyed. But that's not what happened. So it's you're creating a villain so the villain can get taken down and you can create a hero out of it. And it worked so well. So I'm a big fan of 2020. The Royal Rumble, not the year.
yeah, I think that's definitely in the conversation.
I think 2007 is also in the conversation.
Great Rumble match. I mean, we did the watch along, and it's so good. It's like Alan was saying about the Daniel Bryan thing in 2014. This one was so star-studded that they showed a full graphic of all 30 men because that was a huge selling point this year. It was like, look at everybody that's in this match.
So it had this is the first one that had ECW represented in it.
And it actually had ECW guys.
Yeah. So and it had like, yeah, the ECW champion could have been the one that you ended up fighting against. I think the 2007 one is fun. It's definitely a good Royal Rumble. I just don't think it becomes a great Royal Rumble until you get to the final two. So once it gets to that big Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels close off where they wrestle for about 7 minutes before one of them gets eliminated, that's when it gets like to a next tier because basically a match within a match. But up till that point, I kind of would go, yeah, it's good. I wouldn't put it Mount Rushmore tier, but I would say, yeah, it's a good Rumble.
I think 2007 is my benchmark Royal Rumble as far as just like fundamental structure because it kind of hits everything. You start off with Flair and Finlay. So you've got, like, I guess I would put it this way. This is how I would book most Royal Rumbles. I like starting off with names where you go, oh man, maybe that guy can go all the way through the end. Finlay lasts 32 minutes and 32 seconds. So there is somebody who starts the Royal Rumble and lasts a long time, which is really cool to track that throughout the whole thing. You've got lots of names in there. So even though you don't really think that Gregory Helms is going to win, or you don't really think that Jeff Hardy might win or whatever it might be, they're still names, so you got to assume that somebody is watching this and they're going, Jeff Hardy's my favorite wrestler. I want him to win. And hoping that that could be the case. He only lasts three and a half minutes. But you've got some jobber types so that they can just sort of be there to, you know, get tossed around like a Sabu or, you know, Sandman lasts 13 seconds. But it's like fun little things because you've got Sandman lasts 13 seconds and the next person that comes out is Randy Orton and he lasts 27 minutes. So you've got a variety of people that last a long time, people who get eliminated pretty quickly. You've got the spot of a big dude needs multiple people to eliminate him because Viscera gets eliminated by Benoit and Punk and Edge and Holly and Nitro and Thorn and RVD and Shelton Benjamin and Shawn Michaels kind of. He's like the last person. He doesn't really reach it.
And it's Viscera, so they could actually pull off that spot successfully because
it's pretty
we don't need him. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you've got that thing in there. You've got the monster that comes in towards the end and you're like, oh, crap, he's going to win, which is the Great Khali. And Khali just starts tossing people around left and right. But you got the big savior of the whole thing is the Undertaker. And he comes in to do that and to take out Khali. It's the first time you have a number 30 win. And the final four is fantastic. The final two is arguably the best final two out of any Royal Rumble.
Arguable. I really don't think it's arguable.
I don't know what would really give it a run for its money, but it's just so good. Like, I don't think that there's really any like flaws to it for the most part. Maybe you could like make a little bit better and take out like Super Crazy and put somebody else in or whatever. But like, I think that this is sort of, if I needed to show somebody what a Royal Rumble could be, I think I would show them this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a very good Royal Rumble, but I'll give you a rival for that in terms of best final two. 2008, Triple H and John Cena.
2008's another really, like, really strong
that starts
one.
Starts with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
So you carry on the thread, essentially, from 2007 immediately onwards. And it's a very, I think this is a fun rumble. It's in Madison Square Garden, which obviously makes it better as well because you have the short entrance ramp. You have them coming through the sliding doors. So that makes it look really good. They're essentially walking through the crowd every time they're doing it. You have, a mix of ECW, Raw and SmackDown people. You have that legend spot in the middle with Jimmy Snuka and Roddy Piper, which is just there to pop the crowd. But they,
it's when he throws the coat really weird. Yeah,
they stick around too much. It has like a really like, I don't say mysterious one, but something that has a bit of an issue with it, which is Hornswoggle never gets eliminated from this match.
That's one of my.
They just decide he's disqualified.
That's one of my big flaws to it. For some reason, he gets disqualified for using the shillelagh and jumping the gun when other people can do whatever the hell. Like they didn't think that part through at all. And that's a big mark on it for me.
You have some fun spots, like you have Mick Foley coming out and him having a fight with Triple H before Triple H eliminates him. That was really good, especially in Madison Square Garden. It was just perfect. And then, what everyone remembers this for is John Cena as the last man coming out. And that is, I just due to the reaction, and this was definitely at the peak of the time where Cena was getting just booed out of every building that he ever came into. The fact that he got such a massive mega pop coming out is just a signal of just how big a moment that was.
I was there. I was live for it. He doesn't get that much of a pop when they realize that he wins, but people were excited to see him because he wasn't supposed to be there, you know? And I think that's why this is one of the best surprise returns of all time, because he really wasn't supposed to be back for like another year. And he just rushes back. And at that point, he is the biggest star. One of the things I would take away from this Royal Rumble, I hate the follow-up.
Yeah.
We're going to factor in follow-up. Follow-up really hinders this one.
I think if it would have just been John Cena versus Randy Orton and Triple H wouldn't have been involved and Cena just wins the title, it would have been better.
Yeah, and they do it at Mania instead of, well, I'm not waiting, so I'm going to invoke my match at No Way Out. And then you do a convoluted way to get him back in there, get Triple H back in there. it's just not a great follow-up, but it is a really fun Royal Rumble match. And it was announced by Michael Buffer, which is really good.
But if we're going to bring up Buffer, we got to bring up how he botches Shawn Michaels' entrance. Not really botches, but...
he doesn't understand.
HBK, the Harper Kid. HBK, the Harper Kid. Yeah, doesn't say it. This is also the event with Jeff Harvey, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not that that factors in.
Earlier on.
But yeah, it's the John Cena thing is one of the, I would say it's one of the Mount Rushmore Royal Rumble moments.
Yeah.
Is his return. Because everybody went nuts. I'm watching it at that time. I had gotten fully back into wrestling at that point. And I know that he's not supposed to be back for a long time, but everybody just goes, holy shit. Oh my God, this is amazing. Ah, fuck, John Cena's going to win. You know, that kind of thing. But that was amazing for him to be back around that time. And it's just one of the best moments for sure. I don't think I'd rank the 2008 Royal Rumble leading up to that point in the Mount Rushmore, but that moment is a Mount Rushmore moment for sure.
So we can probably all safely rule out 2009 to 2010 and 2011.
Yeah. You know, yeah. 2009's the Randy Orton one. I had watched that with a bunch of people that weren't really wrestling fans and they enjoyed it. But I remember being annoyed because the way that they did the whole legacy thing, I don't think that they did it as great as they could have.
It's like something that really irritates me about this Rumble is that at one point there's a good about 15 people in the ring, and then you have that spot where RVD makes his return, or he makes a one-off appearance, because I don't think he actually makes a full-blown return off the back of this, but he just appears for a nice little special pop. He gets in the ring, he can't fucking do anything because there's like 12 other people in the ring that he's having to like run around and try and get past so he can actually hit some of his spots. It's just absolutely ruins it. It's like you feel him getting in the ring just go, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? Like, how am I supposed to like kick somebody when there's, if I fall over, I'm going to land on like five people or something. It's just the way this Rumble is structured is just all wrong to me.
Yeah. And it does one of my personal pet peeves, which is the guy who gets eliminated in the end is actually the champion by me. It's a small thing. I just don't care for that because the idea to me that Randy Orton eliminated Triple H to get to Mania and then has to fight Triple H at Mania and then loses, there, it's just, it's not very good. 2010, we watched on this channel. You can go back and check out that fan announce table. I thought it was great. Upon watching it back, it wasn't.
Yeah.
There are definitely some moments, but that one plays out better in the memory than it does in real time. And 2011 is fun because it's a 40-man Rumble and Matt Stryker is marking out, but
it falls apart.
And Del Rio wins, so fuck it right there. I don't want it in the Mount Rushmore.
2011 is a really fun one to watch if you shut it off early. Like if you get towards the end there and you're like, oh crap, this is where Del Rio wins, then you have to shut it off. It's fun with like Diesel's return and Booker's return and whatever, but yeah. No, for them, which is really a shame because it's like, wow, we have to 2021 and we got to go all the way back down to 2008 before we get to one that's on this list.
Yeah, which is a real shame. Yeah, but another one. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, just because of the fact that it had 40 people in it, there's just a load of dross in the match as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's really nobody of real note outside of like Punk, obviously. You'd have Randy Orton and John Cena. Even Del Rio at this point in time isn't like a big deal. Like he's new, but he's not like, he hasn't established himself as a big main event star yet.
Just to circle back around, because we didn't throw this one out, but it's nowhere near my Mount Rushmore. The 93 Rumble with Yoko. It's not good. It's one of my favorites because for the first time, the fat guy actually wins.
Yeah. It's a weird ending though.
Yeah, it's a really weird ending. Savage does a weird thing where he's like, I'm going to pin him, even though I know exactly what I'm doing here. I don't know.
93 is one of the ones that I haven't seen a whole lot. I'm going to have to revisit that at another point. But yeah, it's not a Mount Rushmore one.
You have to shout out Bob Backlund for breaking Ric Flair's record like 1 year after he said it in the first place.
I think Backlund actually starts out the Rumble that year with Flair and lasts all the way to the end. I think he's the final three because Savage gets eliminated right after him.
So then that means once we haven't talked about, for anybody who's trying to keep track of this, we haven't talked 97, 98. We briefly talked 2000, but I don't think any of us are going 2000, right?
I said it was my no.
No, I mean, it does have one of my favorite Royal Rumble spots in it, which is the Rikishi Sky Too Hot in Grandmaster Sexay dance number.
That is funny.
I thought you were going to say Kai and Tai.
It does have Taka Michinoku just falling through the ring and Jerry Lawler just constantly, oh, we need to see that spot again. that was fun. But but it also has the bullshit ending of the Rock's feet hitting the floor and Big Show going out instead.
My favorite thing about that moment was when Rock came back in 2016 and just said, you know what? You were right. You did win. And that actually led to me getting the Scorpion King. So thank you. And I just thought that's a good follow-up, but it's a really shitty Rumble.
Yeah. And then it also leads to WrestleMania 2000, which is one of the worst WrestleManias.
Shitty WrestleMania. Yeah.
So we haven't talked 97, 98, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, and 2006, essentially.
We haven't talked 92, but that's because
we've kind of already put a pin on that because we kind of all seem pretty set on that being one of the potential ones that's going to go in.
Yeah.
So,
I think in this body, we're going to have more potential ones that are going to go in than at any other point we're going to be discussing.
I would say out of this mix, the ones that I would rule out would be mostly 2003.
Yeah.
I think that's a sleeper Rumble for me. I have a slight nostalgia bias because it's the first Royal Rumble that I ever watched. So it's one that...
It's a good Rumble. And we're actually going to be reviewing that Royal Rumble in the dark cast here.
It's definitely not a bad Royal Rumble at all. It's just, there's bigger, better ones.
Yeah, I'd say so. But it's a sleeper one. It's one that doesn't get talked about enough, really. And we're not going to talk enough about it here, but that's because we've already covered a lot of stuff already.
Yeah, it's got one of the things that I like about Royal Rumbles, which is when somebody wins and then they go on to win the championship at WrestleMania. I like that, but different story. I don't know.
2004 slaps different.
Yeah, 2004 is one of the things where it's like, back in the day, that's a fun, really good Royal Rumble. And then now, of course, with the Benoit thing, you just go, well... that ruins that because now they can't even show that in video packages.
That match in that fashion, we're probably talking about it as one of the best because they set up a lot in that Rumble. They have a really good spot where the Undertaker gong hits and Kane is like, you can't be the dead man, you can't be back. You know, they do that. Foley beating up Test to get into the Rumble to eliminate Randy Orton, who starts it out with Benoit. Obviously, even the Benoit going coast to coast, you know, it's the perfect moment for a wrestler like that. But damn it, like, you can't, you just can't because it's Benoit.
I'd argue that, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, it wouldn't be in my Mount Rushmore maybe anyway. It would be just shy of it. But the Benoit thing just kills it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult to really do it in that situation, but it was a very fun Royal Rumble to watch at the time.
It's very realistic. Like the ending to it is one of the most realistic endings because it's the Big Show, you know, and he doesn't like have this weird moment where, oh my God, he fell over and spontaneously and I win. No, Benoit, you know, manages to wrestle him into a position to where he can get him over the ropes slowly but surely. It's a good story told, but you know,
he has to work for it, which is different. It normally doesn't go down like that. Normally it's just a clothesline, it's just, you know, tossing him over the rope or whatever. He actually has to like work his way to torque him over the rope and whatever. But
If we're ruling out 2004, then I would safely rule out 2006.
I think I'd rule it out too, ultimately.
It's a good one, but again, it's really just about Mysterio, Triple H, and Randy Orton in the grand scheme of things. and everyone else in it is just kind of there for the most part.
You weren't excited about Tatanka?
No, or Jonathan Coachman, or Sylvain.
Sylvain, wow. The Mysterio stuff is great. Triple H, that this is really like... We're over the hill a little bit with Hunter, but he can still really go, and I think moments like that for me are more appreciated now than they were at the time. And it's a nice moment because it's Mysterio, but I wouldn't put it in the Mount Rushmore.
You know what else pissed me off about this match? I know people don't like harping on about that. So obviously, Mysterio winning was a big deal. Chavo's in this match as well. Chavo's in this match for less than a minute.
Yeah, it's really strange.
By Triple H. Like, I'm not saying that he had to go coast to coast as well, but maybe some sort of situation where him and Mysterio are working together for a little while and they eliminate a couple of people together, and then he gets eliminated by Triple H and that fires up Mysterio a little bit more, so he gets on a little bit of a comeback. That would have been cool. But no, you just toss him off the top rope after when he's going for a frog splash after a minute. That's like, okay. So the actual family member of the guy that died a couple of months ago is not going to get anything in this Rumble, but the guy who we said is like his spiritual brother wins the whole thing.
And it's weird too that it's Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, it's another one of those.
Well, they do that stupid thing at No Way Out again, the convoluted stuff where Randy Orton beats Rey Mysterio for his number one contendership, and then Teddy Long just says the next week, well, I'm just going to add you to the match anyway.
Yeah, so that ruins it all because it makes it go, well, okay, well, they weren't planning on doing the Mysterio thing and they wanted something else.
Yeah,
and
it was Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton. That was the match.
Right.
And then the Mysterio stuff got added. I guess they couldn't think of anything else for Randy to do.
Well, it wasn't actually going to be Kurt Angle versus... Well, I guess it would have been to an extent, but Kurt Angle wasn't even supposed to be fighting for the world title.
Oh, that's right.
It was supposed to be Batista versus Randy Orton. Because Batista got injured in the lead up to 2006, so...
I wonder if Batista was healthy, they just would have pulled the trigger on Taker a year early.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's really clouding like WrestleMania 22 in general, because Eddie dying. Eddie was supposed to be world champion after beating Batista because Batista was injured, but they had to keep the title on Batista because Eddie died, obviously. So, and then Batista ended up getting more injured, so they have to throw Kurt Angle into the mix, even though he was on Raw at the time. You have all the stuff that Eddie's supposed to face Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 22, and then that obviously gets
shit-canned.
So then you end up doing Michaels against McMahon instead, which is obviously fun, but it's a different thing.
So you think it would have been Orton versus Batista and Eddie versus Michaels?
Sean.
Yeah, everyone kind of talks about the fact that it should have been, like, it would have been like a first time ever match between Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero because they never faced each other one-on-one.
Curious what Mysterio would have done.
Probably
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, either Money in the Bank or a Cruiserweight title match or something like that.
That's insane, though, to think. He went from, oh, maybe a Cruiserweight title match to like, okay.
To be fair, what was Mysterio doing prior to?
Because he was in that like top mix, but he was, I mean, yeah, the best thing I could think of is he'd be in the Money in the Bank instead of Flair, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't watching it at that early in 2006. That was still in the range that I wasn't watching it anymore.
Yeah. I can't exactly remember. I know Mysterio was going to be in that Survivor Series elimination match, which he obviously ended up being in.
Because before that, he spent the entire year fighting Eddie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he was in a feud with Eddie for the entire 2005. Yeah, so. But yeah, I'd rule out 2006.
So then we haven't talked about we haven't done a deep dive in 92. We haven't talked 97, 98, 2001, 2002. Here's the good and the bad. 97 is fantastic in some ways and really terrible in other ways.
Are you talking about Steve Austin getting eliminated and then throwing Bret Hart out?
Well, like, it starts off and they've got technical issues. Now, that's not 100% on them, of course, but, you know, that's still a factor. It's technical issues. They can't get the countdown to work, the music's not working, whatever. And you've got Crush and Ahmed. And Ahmed, within 3 minutes, eliminates himself. He jumps over the top rope to get to Farouk. Which, why would you ever do that? What's the purpose? So all they've done in the meantime is they've eliminated the fake Razor Ramon. And then Crush is sitting there in the ring. Now Phineas comes in. Austin comes in, eliminates everybody. He starts just eliminating people left and right. He does the fun thing with looking at his fake watch kind of a thing, whatever. But you've also got an issue of you've got these people from, was it AAA at the time?
Yeah.
CML,
yeah,
one AAA, of those. Yeah. So you got Pyroth, you got Mil Máscaras, who eliminates himself, Cibernético, the Latin Lover, whatever. And it's like, none of these guys matter. They do in their promotion, but they don't in WWE.
Did they advertise Sabu?
Sabu? I don't remember.
Dude, I feel like I remember him being advertised for like, and he's going to be in the Rumble because they were doing the stuff with not only AAA, but ECW as well. And that's why Funk is in the match. Terry Funk, not Dory Funk Jr. Pop that up again. But I think they had advertised briefly Sabu.
It might have been. I don't remember that far back. Well, in some
ways. Flash Funk in it as well.
Yeah, that's right.
But like, there's really good stuff about this Royal Rumble, but it's a mess, you know?
I love this Rumble match. It's one of my favorites because it makes Stone Cold Steve Austin. This performance sets up Austin as a major working heel. Between Survivor Series and this match, it's like, oh, Austin's going to be a guy not nearly to the effect that we would later find out that he is, but this is such a huge moment for him. And it's Brett's last Rumble. It's a great Rumble for Brett. I love the, well, they didn't see Austin get eliminated, so he's just going to sneak back in there. I thought that was genius. There is so much good here. And of the ones that we have left, I can feel safe putting a pin in the 97 Royal Rumble.
Well, for each good thing, there's a bad thing, though. Like, I really like the It Takes a King. And then one punch later, gets eliminated, and Lawler just goes back to Noah King. Like, that kind of thing is fantastic. But
and
if
then
you,
the entire
if you,
time he's like, you know, if I was in there, but I'm not going to get in there. Like, he acts like he was there for the match. That's a lot of fun.
Like, that's a big positive for me. One of the negatives is, technically speaking, the final four involves fake Diesel. And they just... Say,
no,
nah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Nope.
Yeah, he's the 28th man eliminated.
Nope. he was eliminated legally. The other three weren't. Suck it.
The,
Well, because if you count the fact that Austin was already eliminated and he eliminates the other guys, then it's like, okay, so Diesel's the only one that's left that wasn't illegally eliminated, so...
Like, that's weird, and then it ultimately does turn out that the Royal Rumble winner doesn't challenge for the championship at WrestleMania. Now, technically speaking, he goes on and has a far better match. Like, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to go, yeah, but you know what, if he would have fought Sid, it would have been better. Nope, definitely wouldn't have. The submission match at WrestleMania 13 is one of the best matches, just period. So, that works out well, but it is sort of like... hindrance for the Royal Rumble in some ways. I remember thinking that this was like the most amazing shit in the world, though, because it's like, what do you mean a guy who got eliminated won? And they're doing the Fatal Four pay-per-view and Brett wins the title, then he drops it to Sid and it's whatever, and Brett's acting like a bad guy here. And that was one of those big, like, WTF type of booking type of scenarios, and I really, really enjoy it in a lot of different ways, and it's fun as all hell to watch, but it is kind of a mess. So I don't know. I don't think that I would put this in the Mount Rushmore, but it would be in the discussion in some fashion for me.
I really enjoy it. It's in the discussion for me.
I think, you know, it's worth discussing, at least in a later date. 98. I don't know about 98.
98's got some fun stuff. It's got the Three Faces of Foley.
That's the best thing about it.
Yeah, but I think that's the best thing about it. The rest of it is all just built around Stone Cold Steve Austin. But so it's means until Steve Austin enters at number 24, there's really nothing of this match at all.
It's got the Austin thing, which is sort of fun because it's like... he's got the hit put out on him, and you've got the winner wins the Royal Rumble and goes on to win his first championship at WrestleMania type of thing, which I'm super into. He beats The Rock.
Yeah, that's a cool little moment.
Which is kind of weird, though. Because it's like, they're setting up this whole thing with The Rock and whatever. I guess it's not really weird. Because that's the next year.
That's next year.
He's the champion, and he is doing that because Austin said, I'll just give you my belt because I don't want this belt because I'm going to go in the Rumble and I'm going to get the bigger belt. But I will kick your ass in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
very on brand.
That's where I was getting with it. The Intercontinental thing's weird about it. But in the grand scheme of things, it's really not that weird because he's stepping up to the next level. And it sets up The Rock to be a guy who's really towards the end there. He's really a potential future guy. And then by the next year, he's the one who's holding the championship. So yeah, it's not weird as I was thinking heading into that. So I like the 98 one. I think that's a very standard kind of Royal Rumble. I do think there's probably better ones we could pick.
It's not my Mount Rushmore, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I just think there's too much dead weight in the Rumble than that Rumble.
I'd get more along the lines of that 2004-2006 type thing, where it's like, this is B-tier, kind of. So that means 2001-2002. 2001
is one of the greatest Royal Rumbles of all time.
I would argue 2001 is the best Royal Rumble of all time.
2001's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is where Kane goes on his absolute tear with biggest number of eliminations until Roman Reigns comes along and then Braun Strowman after that. But yeah, so that was the memorable moment. You had Drew Carey in the Rumble for a little bit, his first ever celebrity to really ever appear in a Royal Rumble.
Honky Tonk Man,
comes out for a bit. You get a lot of hardcore stuff in this one as well, because again, the hardcore division was kind of pretty big at this point in time. So you do have this spot where there's just a load of garbage wrestling going on in the ring, but it doesn't take away from it too much.
And I'm surprised nobody's like, very rarely do they go, here's a chair. Use a chair. There's no DQ. Bring a chair with you and start nailing people.
Yeah, it's so star-studded, this Rumble, especially towards like the back end of it as well. You've got, at this point in time, in the final like eight or so people, you've got The Rock, Steve Austin, Kane, The Undertaker, Rikishi's being pushed quite heavily at this point in time. Billy Gunn, who wasn't like a super major star, but he was like a very well recognizable star at this point in time. You have Big Show makes his big return in this one as well. I just think that this Rumble is just so fun from start to finish, really. And again, you have Austin win. Again, maybe you have a bit of an issue with the fact that Rock wins the title like in the month it as well. But I don't, because like, of course you're going to do Rock versus Austin at WrestleMania.
I'll say this. I have less of an issue there because, you know, it all made sense. These are all guys at the top of their game. And, you know, WWE at this point, they're still super hot. Rock could have been the winner of this Rumble and it would have been fine. You could have had Austin, you know, beat Kurt Angle. It would have all played together well. This is easily the best performance by a big man in a Royal Rumble. Kane's performance here is great. And it's not padded like the Roman Reigns eliminations, where if you look at that Rumble, he eliminates like El Torito and JBL, and they threw all these people in the Rumble just to, you know, have Roman Reigns break the record. This is how you do a Royal Rumble. This is the best Attitude Era Rumble. This is one of the best Rumbles. I don't know if it's the best, but it's definitely in the conversation. And I think it's a surefire lock for the final four on the Mount Rushmore.
I wouldn't lock it, but I got it up on the list because this is just fundamentally one of the most fun ones to watch, too. I'd actually argue 2002 is a really fun one to watch, too.
Oh, yeah.
What I was going to say as well, because the thing that I remember most about the 2002 one, obviously, is Triple H returning and the stuff that happens towards the end of it as well, but one of the big things is Undertaker and Maven.
Yeah.
Because that is just like, I don't think they've ever done anything of that ilk in a Royal Rumble since, of just having an absolute nobody eliminate one of the top stars in the company.
And not even like a Ric Flair type where it's like they're way past their prime, but they're a big name, but it doesn't matter if Kenny Dykstra eliminates them or somebody like that.
Yeah. It would be like WWE champion a couple of months past this point.
Yeah.
He gets eliminated by a guy who only signed with the company a month or so earlier.
It, like, the modern day equivalent would be something more along the lines of like Reginald, the sommelier that Carmella has, taking out Roman or something, where you'd be like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you can even say someone from like NXT or something like that, because at least like they get exposure and things like that.
If Leon Ruff enters the 2021 Royal Rumble and eliminates like Drew McIntyre, you know,
I wouldn't say that's even an equivalent, because Leon Ruff's been a champion, so like that's not even
I
an
guess
equivalent.
Yeah. Fair.
No, you'd have to go with somebody who doesn't have any kind of an accolade like that.
But it feeds off so well, because it makes so much sense, because you had Undertaker out there and he's eliminating a lot of people. But then you have Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy come out, who had recently been attacked by the Undertaker and they've been taken out. So they make their big returns. Undertaker still eliminates them, but then their distraction is enough for Mavens hit that drop kick, eliminate the Undertaker. Undertaker then absolutely like destroys this guy.
Mm.
And that was hard to watch in the grand scheme of things, but
he nails him with the chair shot.
But it was still fun. You have Goldust returning on this one. This is the first time he's come back since WCW closed.
Mr. Perfect comes back as well.
Yeah, Godfather as well.
And I think the final four in that was Val Venus came back as well.
I think he was making like a return as such, or at least to that gimmick.
At the very least. Is Val Venus. I think last time we'd seen him, he was a center.
Yeah, and not in the right center. Yeah.
So then you have the final four ends up being Perfect and Angle and Triple H and is that Austin?
Austin.
Yeah,
Austin's final four.
So that's like a good final four.
Final four, yeah.
I have another underrated run by Austin, where he's kind of like 97, he's left in the ring by himself. And then Triple H has one of the coolest entrances ever, where like the whole thing stops and like he gets this like great laser entrance and stares down Austin. And it's the first time that they're really interacting since the injury where they were partners. There's a lot in this Rumble.
Booker T's coming in at number 30 was good as well, because he gets in, he eliminates RVD pretty quickly, gets really full of himself, does a spinaroonie, and then immediately gets eliminated. And that was just like... That was
Hurricane Helms has a great moment where he tries to choke slam Triple H and Steve Austin at the same time. And it's so much fun. I actually kind of want to go back and watch it right now.
It is a very fun one as well. So, yeah, so... In terms of like the ones we kind of got pins in at the moment, what were we kind of at?
So we've got 8, which is funny because then we could do like almost like a 50-50 kind of split. Before I mention them, though, I want to mention the merchandise shops, TeePublic and Redbubble. If you want to pick up a t-shirt or something, check them out. It's Mark Out Moment, A Mango Tees, and Fanboys Anonymous. And of course, if you want to check out more things on fanboysanonymous.com, go over to that website and show that one some love too. Hit the like button on all those things, follow all those accounts, check out the different podcasts and articles that are up on there. So we have the 8 that we are going to narrow this down to are 1992, 1997, 2001, 2002, 2005, 2007, 2008, and 2020. 2020, that sounds so weird. 2020.
Wow. What a good year for 2020. 2020 stands out. There's a good decade plus between all of those Rumbles in 2020.
You got a gap between 92 and 97. Mini gap between 97 and 2001, 2002, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008. So you got a good stretch there. And a 12-year gap until 2020. But I would say if I'm going to go with out of this list, I'll send it to you guys just so you can keep track of it a little bit better. I would say 1992 and 2007 are two of the four for me.
Well, I guess now we can talk about 1992, which is, in my opinion, the greatest Royal Rumble match in the history of the event. It's like the light bulb clicks that, wow, stakes make this match so much better. You've got a ton of people here who, if they're not in their prime, they're right on the cusp of it. Like Sean, he's not, you know, 95 Sean, but he's fresh off the turn on Marty, and he's only a few months away from main eventing Survivor Series for the world title. Bulldog does great stuff here. Hogan, this is his last Rumble, and he's in his prime still. Savage is in his prime still. Jake is in his prime. Taker, Sid, so many Hall of Fame names, so many fun spots here. Ric Flair going essentially coast to coast, except for missing the one guy. Bobby Heenan on commentary. It's the only Rumble match where the commentary is probably going to add even more to why it's on the Mount Rushmore.
We got to talk about that. He is so good on this. The whole, it's a kilt. It's a kilt. It's a skirt.
It's a kilt. Thank you. Thank you, Piper. And then as soon as he hits Flair, oh, you skirt wearing freak. It's like,
that's not fair to Flair. Like,
well, dude, I can't see. Give me something with a kick.
I will say, a big knock on this, though, is the ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever that Hogan gets eliminated by Sid, and then Hogan's somehow the good guy by cheating and letting Ric Flair, out of all people, win. Like, he helps a heel beat a babyface who did nothing wrong whatsoever, and Sid's the bad guy?
I honestly think at this point they were still in the mindset of Sid can be the next Hogan. So maybe they were flirting for 5 seconds with the idea of Hogan being a bad guy. But it is the one knock on this match, because you go back in time and you flip it where Hogan eliminates Sid and then Sid pulls Hogan out and helps Flair. You're gold.
Yeah, that would have been so much better.
But this match is near flawless, and it will be on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like a big one up there. I'd probably say that it's probably going to likely be on my one as well. It's just the ending is a little bit weird, unless you see it from my perspective, which is the fact that Hulk Hogan has never been a babyface.
Even that, though, if they would have gone more into that, if they would have made Hogan the heel and Sid the babyface going into Mania, then that could have been so much better too, you know.
Well, he pretty much was whether he wanted to or not, because the crowd's reaction. But yeah, I think that's definitely a big one in the conversation for me. Out of the ones we have listed at the moment, the two that are standing out most to me are 92 and 2001. I'm not convinced with 2007 just yet.
I would, if I took one out of the mix, I think it would be 2008. Actually, you know, I think I'd take 2002 out, too. It's really good. You know what? Maybe 2005, too.
I would say
that's tough.
Out of the ones listed that I would definitely take out at the moment would probably be 2005 would probably be the one that I'd definitely take out. It's a good Rumble, but I don't think it's, like, super, super great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
after that, for me, I would lean towards 2007 would be my next one that I'd take out.
Really?
I just don't think it's a good Rumble outside of the final 7 minutes. It's a good Rumble, but it's not a great Rumble until the final 7 minutes.
For me, the one I would take out 2005, and then I think the next one I would take out from the 2000s might be 2000. I'd probably take out 2008, but like,
yeah,
just by a hair.
Here's my argument for 2008 getting taken out. 2002 has got a surprise return, so does 2008. 2002, I'd rather
it's not
watch.
A surprise return, is it? I guess if you came perfect instead of Triple H.
Well, I mean, it's like somebody coming back.
Triple H was very
I mean, they were advertised. They're not surprise returns, but they are like major returns.
Yeah. So I think overall, 2002 might be better like that. But I don't even think I'd put 2002 in the Mount Rushmore yet, necessarily.
I don't think I'd put it in the Mount Rushmore either.
I think we're probably all going to go 2001 as one of them.
Yeah.
So then, for me, if I'm saying 92, 2001, 2007, then it's a matter of, for my list at the very least, you got to go either 97, 02, or 2020. And that's kind of tough.
Well, for me personally, in terms of the four that I've kind of listed out in my mind now, it's, for me, it's 2001, 92. Maybe it's recently biased, but I would say I think 2020 is better than a lot of these Rumbles. I think 2020 is just a perfectly, really well put together Rumble. And and to be fair, I don't really have super fond memories of 97's one. Like, I don't think about that one a lot when I think about great Royal Rumbles and stuff like that. I mean, I can see why it's historically important. Out of the remaining ones, I'd either go 2008 or 2002 for my fourth one. But I know you guys aren't as fond of that one, but I really want 2020 to be in this list.
So you'd probably go, Callum, you'd probably go 92, 01, 02, and 2020? Or 08 instead of 02?
Or 08 in 2020. It would be between 2002 and 2008 for my final four.
So you'd go 92, 01, 2020, and then either 02 or 08. Mm. What about you, Rob?
So I'm going 92, 01, 07, and I might actually go 2020.
So then if I'm going 92, 2001, 2007, that means 92 has three votes. That's a lock. 2001 has three votes. That's a lock. Then it's a matter of there's one vote for 2002/2008, two votes for 2007, two votes for 2020, because I didn't pick a fourth one yet. I would say, you know, I think I'd go 2020. Yeah, you know, make that a threefer. And
that's insane. That's what a great Rumble that is.
So then that could be 92, 2001, and 2020. And then it's a matter of the third or the fourth. That's math. The fourth one would have to be either 02, 08, or 07, which if I'm going 07 and Rob's going 07, then that would be more 07. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine.
Which means Mount Rushmore then would be 1992, 2001, 2007, 2020.
Good Lord. 2020, huh?
And then our B tier would be 1997, 2002, 2008.
And 2005.
And was 2005 the other one? Yeah.
Yeah.
2005. Just for the sake of it, I think that the C tier, based off of what we were talking about, would probably be 04, 06, 98, and I mean, I'd put 94 on there, but you guys wouldn't. what would be the fourth one you guys would maybe put in there?
97, probably.
We've already had 97. It's on the beta. I would say there's a potential shout for maybe 2018.
That is a good Rumble. It's weird because
actually I'd go 2003 because I like that one.
I would either go 2018 or probably still 2010 of the ones that are left.
All right, so we're all over the place on that one then.
Yeah,
because I'm going 94. You got 2010, 2018, 2003. Because
then it really gets into like personal preference and like what you recall most fondly.
And that's C tier, so C tier doesn't really make any sense to go down, you know.
I think that of the Mount Rushmore, of the consensus that we've come to, these are damn damn good Royal Rumble matches, and you should all watch them.
You definitely should. You should watch all the Royal Rumbles. They're all fun in some fashion.
They're easy. They're so palatable.
They really are. They're the type of thing that if you don't know what to put on and you want to watch some wrestling, if you just put a Royal Rumble on, you get a little taste of a lot of different things. You get some storyline stuff. You get some intrigue. You get some fun comedy spots. You get surprises. You've got rivalries created out of nowhere. You've got rivalries continued throughout the Royal Rumble matches. You get a little, like we keep saying the word, snapshot of the roster at the time. So sometimes it's really fun to look back and be like, oh, wow, this is before they decided to really push this person as such and such. Or even when you just go, oh, yeah, Tom Brandy. That was a guy. Yeah, that kind of thing. They're just fun. So we haven't quite decided yet which one we're going to do for the Van Ounce table. I have a poll up on the Mega Maniacs Facebook group right now, and the last time I had checked, 1991 was winning. Plus, it's 30 years old at this point, so I'm pretty sure that we're going to go with that one. I don't know when we're going to record that one. We're recording this in advance. This is before we're even doing the one to watch. So we're doing this, you know, putting it later on in the week. But maybe we'll do some more Royal Rumble retrospective stuff in some fashion. I don't really know exactly what or when or how. It's a possibility, though, because it's one of my favorite topics to talk about. That's a good group, the Mount Rushmore there. 92, 2001, 2007, 2020. If you're going to watch any four Royal Rumbles, it's a good four to watch. But watch them all.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, this was what you were looking for, Marco. Hopefully, everybody else enjoyed this as well. We talked about a lot of different things that we've already got going on with the plugs and everything. I mentioned already that by now you should have heard the one to watch. We'll record that on Wednesday after we've recorded this. So who knows if anything's changed since then. And then retroactively we're saying, you know, this is the next thing you're going to hear or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, coming up over this course of this month, we are going to do that Fan Ounce table. We are going to do the other kind of standardized stuff that we do for Royal Rumble month. Obviously, we're going to do the predictions for the next Royal Rumble because 2021 should have still two more. And who knows, maybe one of them, it's going to end up being one of the next ones that's on this list instead. And we end up bumping it. I highly doubt it, but you know. But I did my plugs. It's time for these guys to do theirs. Callum?
Well, check out all the great stuff on smartcowmoment.com, including the Power Rankings, which is my weekly contribution. And of course, there is the Paul Heyman SmackDown podcast, which me and Rob do, where we go back to the year now 2003 to check out all the stuff that SmackDown was doing under Paul Heyman's stewardship as head writer. On the most recent one, we talk about the first episode of 2003, where we have Team Angle's debut, we have the wedding of Dawn Marie and Al Wilson, which is a lot of fun, and an actually fun main event between Brock Lesnar and Matt Hardy. So, yeah, check out that one if you want to get your daily dose of 2003 and escape. Well, now no longer 2020. We're in 2021 now. But if you want a bit more nostalgia, you can check that out there. And follow me on Twitter at WakeMeister14.
And you can follow me on Twitter at DudeFelice. Don't know when this is necessarily going to hit the feeds, but this is the first week of January that we're recording this. And wrestling is hectic. Wrestling is entering its peak season. So we got Wrestle Kingdom. We got New Year's Dash. We got a ton of events on Wednesday. And of course, we're on the road to the Rumble, which means good or bad, WWE is going to be important. So join me in checking all that out over at Fightful.com and follow me on Twitter at DudeFelice.
Since you said we're on the road to the Royal Rumble, I have the Viridian City song in my head. We're on the road to the Royal Rumble. We're on the road. That's what we're on the road to. And we're going to hopefully not take any detours or anything. We're just going to kind of keep plugging along here and try to give you as much content as we can for the month of January. So hopefully you enjoy what we've got coming up and you keep joining us on the ride. But that's it for this whole setup. If you want to follow me anywhere else that I'm doing besides the whole Smart Cow Moment stuff, just follow me at Tony Mango on Facebook and Twitter to find all the stuff on eWrestling News and on Bleacher Report and Obviously, I mentioned before, fanboysanonymous.com is another thing. Hopefully more content there. I know at the very least we got two more review points coming up. But, you know, some people aren't into that. Check it out. Check out everything else on smarkoutmoment.com, and we will see you next time, everybody. But for now, this has been another Smarkout Moment, and we're being counted out.